His new title, the nation's mayor. Why do nations? Every Democratic mayor in the country is looking at him as, what is Mayor Eric Adams going to do? Because we will follow. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
The cats, how are you? Always good to be with you.
Well, it's good to be with you and the whole country. You've been mayor for 3 weeks, but the whole country is looking at you right now. What is Eric Adams going to do? Because I think they want to follow. And you have made yourself a national spokesman for being mayor of New York City. And you have a new program, I understand, called the Blueprint to End Gun Violence. You want to tell all New Yorkers about it?
It's very interesting. My goal yesterday was really to do a comprehensive layout of what's feeding the sea of violence. There are many rivers that are flowing into the sea of violence. And it's dealing with lawmakers, the flow of guns, of the practices on the ground in policing, mental health. And each one of those sea rivers must be dammed. If you don't, you're not going to address the underlying causes of violence. And we're doing our job of taking guns off the streets. Last year, the New York City Police Department removed 6,000 illegal guns off our streets. This year, we have removed over 300 since the time I took office. Why are we still seeing the constant flow of these guns? But not only that, do we have dangerous guns on our streets, we have to do a better job of not allowing dangerous people to continue to come on our streets. We have to tweak our bail laws. We have to tweak our mental health laws. We have to tweak how we go about dealing with those who are on the street, dealing with mental health issues, and they're dangerous to themselves and others.
We all agree 100%. Now, there's a lot of important things. We have to get all our politicians together on this, that yes, we have sympathy for people that have mentally ill problems. We have sympathy for the homeless. We have sympathies. At what point on these people's arrest record? There used to be a law. There was going to be a law. Three strikes and you're out. If you have three violent crimes or more, at what point do you throw them in jail and say you're a menace to society?
Here's what we're doing wrong right now. And this is something that, you know, I'm sure you recall, those of us who are old enough to remember. During the late 60s and 70s, drug dealers identified that you could have youth or juveniles carry drugs because if they're arrested, they'll be treated in family court. That's what people are doing now, exploiting young people. They are having young people carry guns because they realize if they're caught with the guns and it's not publicly exposed, it goes to the family court. And we're seeing repeated cases where young people are caught with guns, they go to family court, and they come out. The young person who shot a police officer, he was just on probation in December for carrying a gun, and now in January, he's back with another gun shooting a police officer. We have to stop this from continuing to happen because this is putting dangerous people back on the streets, and that's the combination of lawmakers and public service officers, police officers, and solving the solution, and like I say, damming these rivers of violence.
Mayor Adams, I used to call you Eric when you were borough president. Now I call you Mayor Adams. And Mayor Adams, you were started as a transit cop originally. Is it time, instead of spending $7 billion on rails and subways, is it time maybe to put one police officer on every station and maybe one on every train until we solve the problem?
Well, omnipresence is important. That's the concept of having visible, uniformed police personnel throughout the system or throughout the city, because that deals with the two crises we're facing. We're crising the actual violence that's in our subway system, but we're also dealing with the feeling and the perception that people don't feel safe. And so we have, in addition, we had additional 22,000 subway inspections from the time I took off office. 1,000 more officers are visiting the system, doing also inspections. We're going to bring more officers when we civilianize, bring in police officers from desk duties, placing them on patrol. So we're going to continue to see the omnipresence that's needed. And my officers are now riding the subway trains so that you see them and you feel safer. We all do when we see that uniform officer that's there. We're not going to allow the congregating of officers. There was a New York Post article that showed 8 officers standing together in a subway station. That's not acceptable. We believe our officers should spread out throughout the system and do that visible omnipresence. That's important.
Oh, we agree 100%. Now, the mentally ill. 20 years ago, there used to be 30,000 of them in hospitals. Now there's 3,000 because somebody, I don't know which politician, I'm not going to point fingers, threw them on the streets of New York. Those people are human beings. They need help. What can we do? Can we create maybe a hospital system on Rikers Island? Because these people need help. They don't deserve to be living like that.
Well said, Katz. And we have really embraced this concept that it's dignified to live on the streets, live in the subway system, sleep on grates, sleep on tents in front of establishments. This is our course of doing business when it comes out with those with street homelessness and mental health crises. I don't believe that. And this administration is not going to push that policy forward. Number one, the subways are made for commuting. We're going to partner with mental health professionals and law enforcement officers, and we're going into the system, and we're going to escort people off the system that are dangerous to themselves and others, and clearly they are in need of care, and we're going to give them the wraparound services that they need. I believe in the Fountain House model. The Fountain House is a model that actually builds trust with people who are homeless and ensure that they get the services that they need. That is what we're going to focus on. We can't have a system where people are sleeping on the system, carrying all of their belongings on the system, laying out on train stations and on subway trains. This is not acceptable, and we're moving from the model of just acting like they don't exist and acting like it's dignified to live on the subway system or on our streets. That's not the model we're going to practice under this administration.
The 5 DAs that come under New York City, have you met with all of them? I'm sure you have. Are they going to be cooperating with you, the federal government, or whoever, just to make sure that bad criminals, I'm not talking about people with 1 ounce of marijuana, nobody gives a damn, but bad criminals that are hurting the citizens of New York City, that something happens to them to make our city safer?
Yes. I have a great relationship with all 5 of my district attorneys. We're going to continue to communicate and act as partners in dealing with crime. Are there going to be areas we may have a philosophical disagreement? Yes, but we will work through them. They, like I, know that our city must be safe, and we can't continue to have violent people placed on our city streets and creating violence in our communities.
So it comes down to bring our city back, and I was on that Zoom call with Kathy Wilde the other day with D.A. Bragg. To bring our city back, we have to take care of the violent criminals. We can't accept them. We got to take care of the homeless because they need help. And we got to take care of the mentally ill because those are the people. Some of them are veterans. Some of them are permanently mentally ill, and we have to make sure they have their medicines and make sure we take care of them. I agree with you on all of that. And every New Yorker agrees with you with that. Then, go ahead.
And you just laid out what I am sharing with New Yorkers, that when we think of violence, it is not one river that's feeding this sea. As you stated, we have to deal with the mental health. We have to deal with the gun violence. We have to deal with just a total feeling of disorder. All of those things we must deal with, and that includes making sure we stop the flow of guns in our city. It includes making sure that when we take dangerous people off the street, that they go through our court system in an expeditious fashion, and we're not holding up trials. And when we examine what is clogging up the wheels of justice, and that is what we laid out yesterday so that we can make sure we declog those wheels so they can move in a very expeditious but fair way.
We had one of the people that you talked to, we had Bill Bratton, Commissioner Bratton, on our show last night. And he talks to you once in a while and advises you once in a while. There's so many illegal guns in the city. How can we separate the people that use illegal guns to terrorize other citizens versus maybe the bodega owner that has a gun to protect his family and his store? Can we somehow separate the two?
Yes, we can. And that's with a well-trained police officer that's familiar with the streets. They have the proper training. They use the technology such as video cameras to ensure that they identify the individuals who are potentially carrying weapons and how they carry out their communication and interactions with these individuals, and that they understand that they properly identify themselves as police officers. And we have police officers with that level and those level of skill sets to do the job right. We need to give them the tools and support to be able to carry this out.
You were a captain in the NYPD, and you were a police officer. Is your goal, and I think it is, that you want to make sure that the people in blue, the NYPD, every servant of our city, that they feel confident that you got their back? Can you give them confidence that you got their back?
Yes, I can. And, you know, trust is not just given, it's earned. As police officers, we must rebuild trust with the residents. And as the leader of the city, I must rebuild trust with my police officers. We have our officers going out doing difficult jobs. If they carry out their jobs and hand off dangerous people to the system, we must make sure laws keep dangerous people incarcerated until they serve their time. And we must make sure that prosecutors are prosecuting those who violate the law. You can't have a city such as New York where people feel any and everything goes. That is unacceptable, and that is dangerous to the quality of life that we expect as New Yorkers.
Now, once we take care of crime and people feel safe, I believe people that have moved, people that are scared to ride the subways, people that they're all going to come back because this is the greatest city in the world. And is it a lot of responsibility? Because it all lies on your shoulders, Mayor Adams.
It is. And I want the obligation and the responsibility. This is a city that I love. I was able to have a good career here as a police officer, as a state senator, and as the borough president. I believe everyone should have the opportunity. I say all the time, Cats, America is the only place where dream is attached to our name. There's not a German dream, a Polish dream, a French dream, but there's an American dream. And the real symbol of that American dream is right here in New York, where we have a diverse population of all different cultures and ethnicity, and we should have the right to move towards that dream every day. And the only way we can do that is to be a safe place. The prerequisite of prosperity is public safety and justice.
So if crime goes away, if we clean up our streets, and in addition, Omicron goes away, I think it's the greatest city in the world. Do you have a dream of what you want to do to put New York City back on the map?
Yes, get crime under control, bounce back by COVID, build an economy that is going to deal with the inequalities that really prevented New Yorkers from experiencing the American dream. And that is our goal, and we know it's possible to do so. This city is manageable. Far too many people believe that we can't manage this city. And I'm saying to New Yorkers, yes, we can. We must have the covenant protected. Taxpayers pay their taxes. Agencies are supposed to use those tax dollars to provide goods and services. As your mayor, I'm going to make sure we provide those goods and services so you get your money's worth as a taxpayer.
Oh, we have a minute left. Anything else you want to tell all New Yorkers? Not all New Yorkers. America is listening to you. All Americans.
I want them to believe. I want them to believe. People reflect on September 11, 2001. They think about watching those buildings collapse. And although I honor those who lost their lives that day, Cats, the day I remember the most is September 12, 2001. We got up, builders built, teachers taught, New Yorkers responded in an admirable way to the crisis that we were facing. We showed our resiliency, and because we stood tall in the face of uncertainty, the rest of the country looked at New York City and said, darn it, we could make it. And that's what we are now. COVID is not terrorism, but it has terrorized us. And now it's time for us to really show our resiliency once again, open our businesses, make sure our children are in school, less employed, let's make sure we patronize our shops, let's get up once again and show the entire globe what we need to do as we have done so many times before.
Merrick, Mayor Eric Adams, thank you, and we hope we can make this a regular thing where you talk to New Yorkers, talk to Americans, and God bless you, and God bless America, and the nation is watching, and we're on your side, and we stand by you, and we pray for New York. We all pray for New York.
Okay, and let's pray for those officers. One is trying to recover from a terrible attack on our criminal justice system, and the officer we lost, both these officers, Officer Mora and Officer Rivera, are real New York heroes.
Yes, they are. I mean, we have to put a stop to this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My sidekick on the show, Sid Rosenberg, says he really loves you.
Thank you, Sid. Take care.
Take care.